Father, we thank you once again for giving us this time to come into your presence, O God, to hear your word. Lord, we just want to see you, O God, in this scripture, in this word. And Father, we believe in the authority of the scriptures. We know, Lord, that you are the living word. And so, Lord, we pray that you will reveal yourself to us, O God, as we read, as we expound, as we spend some time looking at your word. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Good morning. I like this particular magazine called Christianity Today, which I've been subscribing for a couple of years. And the recent edition, which was the November edition, you know, this particular month edition, you know, I was just looking, going through some of the articles, and, you know, something really fascinated me, you know, how, and this study was done in the United States of America. I think it was done among evangelicals. Evangelicals are people who believe in the authority of the scriptures, right? They believe evangelism is important, is essential for the life of any church and any Christian. At the same time, I think evangelicals mean they believe salvation comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the only way, the true way, and, you know, sin is only taken away by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, according to that particular context, we are also evangelicals, right? We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We believe it's only Christ who takes our sin. The blood of Christ takes our sins away. And very interestingly, there was a study that was done among the evangelical, many evangelical churches and Christians in the United States. And they were saying, you know, it was, according to the study, it says, you know, that many Christians or even churches have actually gone astray, right? In their theology, in the understanding about God, in understanding about God's plan in this entire world. And so it is entitled Our Favorite Heresies. When I was just looking at some of the numbers, you know, I was telling myself, you know, sometimes it also mirrors, right? Canada also mirrors, because whatever happens there tends to happen here too. Probably in terms of percentage might be lesser or even slightly more, right? There's always a marginal difference there. Oh. And when I was looking at the numbers, it says, you know, people, it says 82% of people say people have the ability to turn to God on their own initiative. In other words, you know, I can turn to God. And it's not only God who can works in my life. I have the authority, I have the power to turn to God. And 82% of them, evangelicals, feel likewise, right? And then 74% of individuals, Christians, they believe that, you know, they must contribute to their own salvation. In other words, it's not Christ who saves me, right? I need to contribute to my own salvation too. And so, and there was a slight drift over there. And then 71% of Christians or evangelicals say, Christ is the first and the greatest being created by God. Can you imagine, right? That Christ or Jesus Christ is the first and the greatest being created by God. And those were the beliefs of the many evangelicals in America, 71%. In other words, Christ, they see Christ as one, right? That Christ is not only the God, he's just one created being. And then as I go further, you know, it says, 56% of them say the Holy Spirit is a force and not a personal being, right? And then, interestingly, I know it comes from America, 54%. Everyone sins a little, right? Looks very comforting. It says, everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. So in other words, I think when I was looking at it, probably the argument is, I think we all created good in the sight of God. Right, it's only, and that's how they tend to look at it. And then, very surprising, among evangelicals, 48% of them say this, that God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and you just fill in the blank. You know, I think more of a pluralistic kind of a view here. You know, so when I was just looking at numbers and statistics, you know, sometimes I feel, you know, well, what's happening, right? What's happening to the Christian world today? Why? You know, they call themselves Christians, they read the Word of God. Probably they're reading the Word of God almost every day. They have their personal devotion and all that. Why? You know, when I was just looking into it, you know, sometimes it depends on how you read the Scriptures today, my friend. This book can be a religious book. If it's a religious book, it talks about, you know, do's and don'ts, right? This is what you need to do. You know, this is what you cannot do. It can become a book on religion. The Bible can also become a book of religion, my friend. Do's and do, right? And so many people go to the Bible, search for things. You know, the five things that I need to do, the three things that should help me to be successful, the four things, you know, I need to do to have a peaceful life in this world. But then there is another group of people who will look at the Bible totally differently. It is not a religious book, but it is a redemptive book. In other words, it talks to me about the redemptive plan of God. And so those Christians look at it and say, it is not a story, because in this particular story, I see the salvation of God. I see the redemptive plan of God revealed. The fall talks to me about God's redemptive plan. The call of Abraham talks to me about God's redemptive plan, right? The Jonah was, you know, swallowed by the whale, and I know many of us, you know, have questions about that. It talks to me about the redemptive plan of God. It is not a story, it's not a religious book, my friend, but it is a redemptive plan of God. It talks to me about God's salvation for the entire world. I think when I look at the numbers, I told myself, I think it's all because today many Christians, or maybe few Christians, look at the Bible as the Bible. You know, many times it's a book that talks about do's and don'ts, right? It's a religious book. And that's why some isms or some people call us people by the book, right? But let me tell you, my friend, you know, every story in the Bible, when you look at it, Christ is the hero. If Christ is not the hero, then let me tell you, you know, we become the hero. Because when I see the story of Jonah, I see the redemptive plan of Christ. When I see the fall, I see Jesus. I see Jesus coming into this world as the second Adam to save us. And so when I see Ezekiel talking, you know, I see Christ. When Isaiah prophesies, I see Christ. So I see Christ. I see Christ. And if you don't see Christ in the Scriptures, let me tell you, it becomes another religious book. The more I read the Scriptures, particularly, you know, when I look at the Gospels and almost everything, I see Christ. Even today's passage, you know, when you look at the life of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, I think some time ago I did speak about Bartimaeus, but let me share with you today. You know, we know this particular story very well. You know? We see a blind man who's just sitting by the roadside, right, and Jesus is passing by. He was sitting by, you know, Jesus, by the roadside of Jericho, and Jesus was just 16 miles away to Jerusalem, right? And so he calls to Jesus. He's very persistent in his call. He calls, Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. You know, and then Jesus calls him. You know, when you look at this passage, many times we look at Bartimaeus and say, yeah, I think it's wonderful. The passage talks to me about Bartimaeus. The passage tells me, how do I get the attention of the Lord Jesus Christ? The passage talks to me about faith. It talks to me that I too can get the attention of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, I'm not saying no. But when you look at the passage more, as you focus more on the passage, it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is a secondary figure in this particular passage. So and I invite you, even in your devotion time, in devotional time, when you read the passage, ask God, Lord, I want to see you. I want to see you revealed in the Scriptures. And let me tell you, God reveals himself in the Scriptures. So when I look at the Scriptures, you know, either you can see Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus can be a hero or Christ can be a hero. When I look at it, no, I see Christ as the hero in this particular passage. And I want to share with you Christ, who's the hero in this particular passage. You know, when Jesus, you know, let's turn to this passage. If you have your scriptures with you, a passage, Mark chapter 10. So Jesus is on a mission. You know, he's walking towards Jerusalem. Can you imagine Jesus was on his final journey? And this was the final journey of the Lord Jesus Christ from Jericho. He's just walking, right, 16 to 18 miles into Jerusalem. You know, he's not just walking. He's going to fulfill the mission. He's going to be tortured, right? He will suffer. He will go through all kinds of persecution for us. I think it is in the final stage of his mission. And that's what he came for, to die on the cross for you and I. You know, and Jesus was going for his greatest mission ever. And then when he was going, what was happening? Right? This man is calling him. Can you imagine? When you are going somewhere and someone calls you, what do you do? I'm sorry, I don't have the time. Right? I'm sorry, I don't have the time. And Jesus was going that was the purpose he came to this world. That was the purpose he came. He taught the disciples. He was ridiculed. Why? Because he wanted to fulfill the plan of God. He wanted to die on the cross for you and me. But then this Bartimaeus calls him, right? And so when I look at this particular passage, I know Jesus stops. And the first thing I realize, I think, in this particular passage, I see, you know, Christ's mercy cares, right? Jesus could have easily told him, you know, Bartimaeus, I'm sorry, right? I'm sending you one of my disciples. I'm sorry I've done, right? Whatever I need to do, I've done my work. You know, I got no more time because my time is running. I need to catch the plane. I need to be there. I need to be, you know, in Jerusalem to face all the things that has been prepared for me. But Jesus did not do that. Jesus cares, my friend. So I think that's wonderful I see in this particular passage. Jesus is so caring. That's the mercy of God. God's mercy is so powerful that he cares for this unknown man. Can you imagine? He's not known. Right? He's not known. You don't see about him. But Jesus actually cares for this wonderful person. An unknown person, right? We do not know his status. Probably he doesn't have anything that is of great value to him. Probably we could actually skip this guy, right? No value, right? I don't get anything out of it. What do I get by just spending this time with him? Jesus could have easily said that. And I think, my friend, I think when I look at this particular passage, I see God's mercy cares for an unknown person, a beggar, right? Who was dependent on people, who is no value in the society, who's dependent on the society. That's how the society looks at him. He's valueless, he's worthless. I got no time. You know, sometimes I think, when I look at Christians, many Christians today, we read a lot of stories about what's happening to the poor, the needy, people in poverty. But does that shake our hearts today? Sometimes it just becomes a news to us, right? It becomes a news. We read, that's another news. But let me tell you, it is not news to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus stops because he cares, my friend. Sometimes we are very indifferent to people, right? To the homeless, to the people even in our community who need help, right? We see them as if we have not seen them before. And we just walk away. I think the mercy of Christ is so powerful that he cares for a person like Bartimaeus. When I look at this particular passage, I also see in verse 48, it says, many rebuked him, and Bartimaeus called on Jesus. He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. many rebuked him. You know, when I read this particular word, I said, you know, how sad it is to note that the disciples did not share the feelings of the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not share the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were with the Lord Jesus for all these years. They heard his teaching. They have seen the wonderful things that Christ have done. They have seen all the good things. You know, we need to be like my Savior. We need to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. They have seen all this, but you know, it says, many rebuked him, my friend. They did not have the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not caring like the Master, like the Savior. Can you imagine? They were with Jesus, but still indifferent. You know, sometimes we call ourselves Christians, but are we still Christians, my friend? How do we respond to people who are in need, who are suffering, who are in pain? Our friends who do not know the gospel, they come to school with us. We know they are living a life which is just contrary to the word of God. Do we care? Jesus cares. That's what I read from the particular passage. Many rebuked him. Even the disciples rebuked him. They were not able to share the feelings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think, dear friends, I think that's the merciful side of the Lord Christ. They were not able to understand him, right? They rebuked this man, but Jesus cares. He cares for this particular individual. Secondly, you know, when I look at this particular passage, you know, I was looking, when you read the second part, when I look at it, Bartimaeus calls on Christ, right? And Jesus stopped and said, come, call him. And so I tried to dive into this particular situation. I tried to see what is really happening. And I asked myself, why did Jesus have to stop? Right? Why should he stop for this man? Why? Is it because Bartimaeus' voice was much more louder? Was it because people were just looking? Let me tell you, that would be, you know, was it because people were looking, and so because people are looking, I have to stop for this man? I think the more I see, I say it's not because of Bartimaeus. It's because of who Christ is, my friend. It's not because Bartimaeus was persistent in his cry. It's not because he called him loud. It's because of who Jesus is. The Lord stopped because he's merciful and he wants to meet the needs of us, my friend. Mercy cares, and not only that, mercy meets our need. He wants to meet the need of this man. He wants to meet the messed up life of this man. It's not because of Bartimaeus, it's because of Christ. Jesus could have easily ignored him. But I think Jesus will not, because Jesus is God and his mercy meets our mess. When I see Bartimaeus, the more I see Bartimaeus, I see, you know, when I was looking at this particular passage, the more I was meditating on this passage, I saw myself in Bartimaeus. Right? I saw myself. Many a times, I saw the fallen nature of humanity. We are blind, right? We have fallen away. We are blind. We are begging for help. We are in desperate need. I think that's the fallen nature of humanity, my friend. We are by the roadside. We cannot get into heaven. We cannot be on the road. We are on the roadside just begging. We need help. We need help. We need alms. We need someone's grace. We need someone to help us to walk. I think the more I see Bartimaeus, I see myself, I see the broken creation. I see the effects of the fall. I see sickness. I see difficulties. I see that we are going through such a situation in our life. I think Jesus, the reason for Mark to write this particular manner was to tell us, you know, Jesus is not just meeting Bartimaeus. Jesus is meeting the messed up world, my friend. The world that needs the gospel. The world that is blind. The world that is broken. The world that needs a savior. And so Jesus asked him a question. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You know, when I look at this particular passage, I'm really fascinated because can you imagine the creator of this world, the Lord of this world, right? He is asking this poor man, this beggar, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do? It should be the other way around. Sir, what should I be doing for you? But Jesus is asking him, what do you want me to do for you? I think that talks to me about the mercy of Christ. I think because he wants to do something for us, my friend, to save us. He wants to help us. He wants to, you know, to do for us many things. And lastly, if you look at the last word, what was happening, you know, Christ's mercy transforms our heart. In verse, when you look at this particular passage, what was happening, you know, this man got a new life altogether, right? He received his sight, right? What was happening, you know, when, in other words, the word in the Greek word, it can also mean he received his sight, right? In certain texts, you will read it, he regained his sight. It could mean that he received his sight, his first sight. Or it could also mean the Greek text that there was a time that he was able to see, then he lost sight, now he regained his sight. It could also mean like that. So when I was looking at it, you know, what was happening, you know, the mercy of Christ transforms his heart. He was now able to see. Probably, you know, he had eyes, but he was unable to see. But now he's able to see Jesus, that he is the Messiah. Can you imagine, you know, look at the scriptures very carefully. There was a time that Jesus said, you know, don't use that name, right? Don't say that I am the Messiah. But then Bartimaeus calls him, right, Son of David, have mercy. And Jesus did not stop him. Because Jesus told others, don't use, because, you know, my time is not complete yet. But Jesus gave freedom to Bartimaeus because this man regained his sight. He knew his Savior, right? I think his eyes was really open. Others saw Jesus as the teacher, but this man saw Jesus as the Messiah. He was able to see, and, you know, that was so wonderful of him. Do you realize, you know, when you look at this particular passage, I realized there was another situation where, you know, Jesus asked, what do you want me to do? In the same passage, you will also read James and John in verse 35 onwards, right? The sons of Zebedee came to Jesus and said, Lord, and so Jesus said, what do you want me to do? And Bartimaeus is also asking, right? And so Jesus says, what do you want me to do? Very interesting text, you know, Mark is looking here. They wanted a place of honor, right? James and John, the sons of Zebedee, said, Lord, we wanted to be seated on your right and your left. We wanted to be in the place of honor, right? But then if you look at it, you know, Jesus actually rebuked them, right? Because they don't deserve, right? They had eyes, but they were blind. They were not able to see. They had eyes, they were blind. And sometimes, you know, as Christians, sometimes we have eyes, but sometimes we still are blind. Like as I told you, the numbers, they have eyes, but still blind. They are unable to see. But very interestingly, they wanted a place of honor. The word Bartimaeus, if you realize, it means son of honor too. Right? And this man was honored because he was able to see Christ finally. In other words, he was able to, he regained his sight. He was able to see, and that's why he's a son of honor. Right? He's honored because he was able to see. The disciples were wanting honor, but they were not unable to see. They were not able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, you know, he regained his sight. He was able to see. Secondly, you know, when you look at the passage, it also says, very interestingly, in verse 46, it says, this man was seated by the roadside, right? He was seated by the roadside. But where else, when you look at this verse 52, it says, he was along the road. There's a difference here. He was sitting by the roadside, but then Mark is trying to tell us, now he's on the road. In other words, he's just on the road with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The Lord Jesus' mercy, you know, transforms our lives, my friend. The mercy of God, when we experience the mercy of God, let me tell you, our eyes are open. The Lord opens our eyes, and we are blessed because of that. And not only that, we are not on the roadside. We begin to follow Christ because the disciples saw differently. They saw that they need to be doing. It is not doing, it is following Christ. And that's what we see in this particular passage. And so I think the mercy of Christ transforms us. And so if you and I have actually really experienced the mercy of God in our lives, what happens? Our eyes are open. We begin to see things differently. The disciples were, or at least James and John were not able to see, and they were still blind. They were disciples, but still blind. But this man saw. He regained his sight. And because he regained his sight, he was not on the roadside, right? He was along the road. He was just walking on the path of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friend, I think, let me conclude by saying, you know, God's mercy is always available. God's mercy cares for us, whoever you are. Sometimes we feel, you know, God is not concerned about us. As I you know, when I was looking at this number, it says in 65% of evangelicals say this, and they say, God knows all that happens, but doesn't determine all that happens. Right? God knows all that happens, but he doesn't determine all that happens. In other words, I think God doesn't really take control of certain things that happens in this world. Can you imagine? The Lord cares for us. Whoever you are, he cares for your prayers. He cares for your needs. Right? You might be a person who's just ordinary like Bartimaeus, but he cares. And when you look at Bartimaeus, I think we are messed up people because of our sin, because of our fall, because of who we are. It's only Christ who's able to redeem us. Right? It's only Christ who's able to help us. It's only Christ who's able to transform our lives, transform our way, transform our living in this world, my friend. No more on the roadside, but on the way with the Lord Jesus Christ, following Christ, living a life for Christ. It's all because of God's mercy. Let's pray. Dear friends, many times when I read this particular passage, I see myself as Bartimaeus sitting by the roadside. I see myself in need of a Savior. Nothing can open my eyes. It's only Christ. Can you imagine Jesus was on the road to Jerusalem to fulfill the greatest mission? But he stops for this man because his mercy cares for who you are. Sometimes we think, you know, Christ don't care for us. But let me tell you, the Lord cares for us. Whoever you are, he cares for us, my friend. And that's the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He cares for the things that's happening in our life. He knows our sins. He knows our failures. He knows the situation that we are in. You know something? If you and I have really received the mercy of God, we begin to see Jesus differently. James and John were with the Lord Jesus Christ, but they wanted a seat of honor. But this man was able to see Jesus as the Messiah. And that's why he was called Bartimaeus, that means son of honor. You know something, when you see Jesus as the Messiah, you are blessed. You become a son of honor. You have seen, my eyes have seen the Redeemer. The mercy of Christ takes us from the roadside and makes us walk following Him. We are no more on the roadside begging, but we are just following on the road and following the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a new life, a life that follows Christ. Not dependent on the crumbs of people, but depend on the leadership, the guidance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. And Father, we pray that we too will have the heart of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be like you. Help us, Lord, to reach out to people who need help. Help us, Lord, to find time or even make time to help people, of God, who are just begging or desperately in need of help. Lord, when we look at people, help us, Lord, to see that they need salvation too. It is sin that has actually brought them to this path. Lord, we want to live a transformed life. We don't want to be like the disciples of God who call themselves disciples but unable to see. But we want to be like Bartimaeus, whose eyes was open. And because of that, he was a son of honor and he was just following Christ on the road. We don't want to be on the roadside of God, but we want to be following Jesus. We want to be Christians of God who are able to see. We do not want to be blinded Christians, Father. Thank you once again for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God who calls us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.